And I trust that God will help us with it. Let me give you a couple thoughts from Matthew chapter 6. One verse tonight. One verse tonight. And with God's help and your help, we won't spend long on it. You don't believe me. Matthew chapter 6. Help me out, and I'll help you out. All right? Can we do that? Amen. Verse 24. No man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Now God add the blessing to the reading of thy word. Cleanse me of sin, empty me of self, and fill me with thy spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Thank you so much for standing. As we step further in to this Sermon on the Mount, I want to remind you, and I know you say you keep reminding us and you keep reviewing this, it becomes redundant. I want us to make sure that as we approach this sermon, we approach it with this backdrop in mind. The Lord Jesus Christ is our King. Now that doesn't apply to everyone. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's everybody. Hey, when the Bible said, God committed his love toward us, and while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us, that applies to everybody. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. That applies to everybody. But there are portions of scripture in the word of God. You really can't claim the promises. You really can't experience the benefits. You really can't enjoy the true wealth of what it says until you come into a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm glad that Sister Ashley and Brother KJ reminded us of what we all need to be reminded of on a regular basis. Thank the Lord that we are saved. Amen. I mean, the miracle of salvation, the phenomenon of redemption, the joy of pardon, the miraculous act of being cleansed by the Lord Jesus Christ, the judicial phenomenon of being justified, and the human irony of those of us who are hellbound now being on our way to heaven to live forever and ever with Jesus Christ. And by the way, the best part of heaven is not the streets of gold, not the gates of pearl, not the fancy mansion, not the wonderful food, and not all of those that have gone on before. The best part about heaven is being with the one that saved our souls. Tonight we're saved by the grace of God. And we're reminded of this Sermon on the Mount as the Lord Jesus Christ begins to stir up in those of us that name his name, that claim that he truly has redeemed us. He begins to remind us that there's coming a day where I am going to rule and reign. I am going to sit on the throne as a supreme magistrate. I'm going to run my own kingdom. Can you imagine living in a world run by Jesus Christ? Corinthians chapter 4 reminds us that there is a God of this world, little g, who had blinded the minds of those. You ever wonder why people we try to lead to the Lord can't get saved? God, the devil has blinded their minds. And the gospel is trying to shine, and it cannot shine effectively because the little god of this world has blinded their minds. I was reminded as we were in the ordination council and looking at this doctrine of eschatology and looking at the end times, and we are reminded that during the millennial reign, it's almost hard to even imagine that the devil will be locked up. I want to ask a question. Can you imagine going through a whole day without having to fool with the devil? Somebody say amen to that. Imagine going through a whole week without having to fool with the devil. A whole month without having to fool with the devil. A whole year without having to fool with the devil. A whole decade without having to fool with the devil. A whole century without having to fool with the devil. But listen to me, in the direct context of Matthew 5, 6, and 7, and the rule and reign of the Lord Jesus Christ, not a day, not a week, not a month, not a year, not a decade, not a century, but for 1,000 years, the devil will be locked up. Hallelujah. Man, I'd love to get him locked up for a day. He gets on my nerves. Sister Ashley said the adversary is around. Peter said he walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Looking for blood. You hear that song Anita sings? The tempter stalks about me as a lion, searching for the slightest sense of blood. It's amazing how many songs we hear all the time we only listen to. Searching for the slight. In other words, he's saying the moment he gets you bleeding, he's trying to pounce on you a little bit more. And we read this Sermon on the Mount with this backdrop of Jesus being king. And you say, well, I've got to look, launch forward into the future of the millennial reign to be able to truly understand what he's saying. No. You don't have to wait till the millennium for Jesus to be king. He can be king in your heart right now. He can be king in your heart today. He can be king in your heart tomorrow. He can be king in your home. He can be the king of your habits. He can be the king of your hope. He can be the king of whom you honor. He can be the king in your friendships. He can be the king in your marriage. He can be the king with you when you're on your job. He can be the king with you when you listen to music. He can be the king with you when you decide what you're going to wear. He can be the king of your thought life. He can be the king of your speech. He can be the king of your attitude. He can be the king of your thankfulness. He can be the king of your worship. He can be the king of your service to God. He can be the king of your singing. He can be the king of your praising. He can be the king of your shouting. If you just carve a spot in your life, you get yourself off the throne. Let him rule. He might just rule. So we looked in this passage of scripture and we stepped down in the laying up of treasures. As we were challenged, don't make your investment on the earth, because it can be corrupted or confiscated. Make your investment in heaven, where you got an impenetrable security system. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad that stalkers can't break into heaven? Aren't you glad that thieves can't get into heaven? Aren't you glad that there is nobody that's watching the pearly gates that will go to the bathroom and let somebody slip past? Aren't you glad that your stuff is good up there? The question is, have you sent any up? Have you sent any up? What am I going to have in heaven? Everything you send ahead. I do not believe that we will all live alike in heaven. I do not believe that. It's contrary to the principles of God. It's contrary to the blessings of God. Rewards are always indicative of performance, as is punishment. I don't even believe everybody's going to live alike in hell. I believe that there are people going to be burning in a hotter hell than some people. I do believe that. And I have scripture to back it up if you want to know. I ain't going to tell you tonight because I want to see if you really want to know, make you come ask me. But nonetheless, I do believe that the correlation of God's wrath is definitely indicative with our performance, as is his reward to how we live. And somebody said, I want the best heaven I can have, then live for God the best while you're on earth. Tiptoeing for God now, and then up in heaven looking for your stuff. You don't have no stuff. Just be glad you made it. Just walk in and sit down somewhere. Where my mansion? Just be glad you're up in here. Where's my house? You don't have one. Rent. Can I rent from? Can I sleep in your rec room? Can I wash dishes for a room? You laughing? I wanted to have a function at my shack, but we don't have enough room. Could we borrow your crib? What are you laying up? Everybody wants a fancy dining room in heaven. Are you sending up any upgrades? May have a pocket. I can't believe my basement not finished. God built me a mansion with a basement that's not finished. Yeah. You quit the ministry. You got out the choir, got out the bus ministry. You quit your Sunday school class. When you quit your class, God quit your mansion. I wish somebody helped me preach. You quit reading the Bible and you tell them, Jesus, keep on building. Well, you keep on reading then. Keep on praying then. Somebody say, man, I told you I was going to be brief, but a rabbit ran by. I had to chase that rascal. I ain't even got to the message. The light of the body. We're talking about the single eye, the focus, the understanding. We talked last week. You know, as he finished talking about where your treasures and your heart be also, and he really gave us the prescription for programming our own hearts the way we want them to be. I hear these statements all the time. I want to serve God, but I can't. Watch this now. My heart is in the right place. Just my body and everything else won't follow. Watch this now. Hear what Christians say. If you just could see my heart, I can. Your nasty mouth. Amen. Your immodest clothes. They're your heart. Yes, we do see your heart. Because out of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Out of the heart are the issues of life. I wasn't at church when my heart was there. No, it wasn't. My heart was in it. I just wasn't in it. No. You will follow your heart. Amen. So he's saying, you want your heart to be in the right place, put your treasure there. Start investing. Start putting big bucks, big time, big priorities. Put the stuff you value the most in the place where it belongs, and sure enough, your heart will follow. And then he showed how the understanding, if it's lightened, the whole body is light. If it's darkened, the whole body is darkened. You understand? In other words, what he's saying, if you spend your time in life darkening the understanding of your person, then don't expect to be able to find your way around. And the lostness that seems to characterize the average believer. Oh, I'm saved. I know I'm going to heaven. I'm going to heaven. You're not going because you have directions. You're going because God saved you, and it's on him to take you there. But listen to me, just because God took you to heaven doesn't mean he's going to automatically take you everywhere you're supposed to go in life. He wants to lead you. She said, my steps are ordered in the Lord, but he cannot lead me if I won't let him lead. So tonight, in the context of all of that, he gives us verse number 24. We're still in this context, and we'll continue that way all the way up through 34. But Jesus Christ is challenging these disciples as to really where their allegiance is in life. I mean, who really has your affection? Or should I say, what does? What really makes you tick? What really makes you happy? What really describes who you are? Nowadays, we hear the statement, he's a self-made man. He's living the American dream. He really got it going on. She's well off. Could I say to you tonight, there is nothing wrong with having money. Matter of fact, there's a whole lot you cannot do if you don't. Okay, there's not a person in here tonight that is surviving with $0. Okay, and if you are, you are mooching off of somebody, all right? Okay, so you cannot make it in life. It takes money to live. It is the way it did in Jesus' time, and it does now. So please don't think that the Lord Jesus Christ is saying, money is bad. When you see money coming, run. If you've got money in your pockets, get rid of it. It turns into anthrax. Get that money out of your pocket, you break out with gangrene. That's not what he's saying. But what he is saying, when it comes to me being king, and it comes to how life encompasses itself, and it comes to what really makes you, he's simply saying, You've got to decide whether it's me or it's something else. Whether it's me or it's somebody else. Whether it's me or your dreams. Whether it's me or your fame. Whether it's me or your goals. Whether it's me or your car. Whether it's me or your house. Whether it's me or your career. Whether it's me or your clothes. Whether it's me or your stuff. Whether it's me or your jewelry. So tonight, for a few moments, I'd like to title this message, Make Up Your Mind. Make up your mind. Who are you going to serve? Write down, number one, the exclusivity of the statement. The exclusivity of what? Spell exclusive, take the E off and add I-T-Y. The exclusivity. We just made an adjective, a noun. The exclusivity of the statement. Some statements in the Bible are just absolute. Here's one of them. No man can serve two masters. Watch this. No man can serve two masters. By the way, when you see that word man, he ain't talking about the male gender. He's talking about the human race. No person can serve two masters. Now, I mean, no exceptions, no exemptions, no exclusions. This is a principle. This is a truth. This is a value. This is a statement. This is a fact that you will not deny. You will not defy. You cannot serve two masters. Extra, read all about it, sir or mom. You will not be the first person in the history of civilization to pull off serving two masters. Now, here's my question. If you can't do it, why are you trying? Why are you trying? You can't. Now, listen. The average Christian tries to do it. It is not the norm for a Christian to be gung-ho Jesus Christ. That's the norm. By the way, the world system today is not built for you to love Jesus like you should. Christian people, they crack me up. It's like they sign up as a customer of the world as if to say, help me be a good Christian. Listen, look at this one. The television not going to help you be a good Christian. The radio not going to help you be a good Christian. The internet in mass, in its overall structure, is not going to help you be a good Christian. Listen to me. Most of the people out there are not going to help you be a good Christian. Listen to me. If you're going to be a good Christian, you will not find out how to do it by living in the world system or in the world's kingdom. If you're going to be a good Christian, you have to live above the world in a spiritual kingdom, in a supernatural kingdom. So even though my feet touch this sod every day, I walk on the grass of a wicked earth. I walk through the malls in a wicked world. I live in a house in a wicked neighborhood, but I've got a spirit that can somehow travel its way beyond the surfaces of this world. I got to find a way in a wicked world to walk with Jesus. A spiritual business. I don't think we understand. It's a spiritual business. No man can serve to me. The exclusivity of the statement. Two, I'm not going to take long. The essence of service. For either he'll hate the one and love the other, or else will hold to the one and despise the other. Wait a minute, Lord. Here you go with these extreme statements. Look at me. For those of you that are commonly critical of extreme Christians, I ask you tonight, what other kind are there? Yeah.
and narrow-minded, weird, old-fashioned Christians.
What other kind of? Find me a good one in the Bible that wasn't like that. One. Every moderate Christian in the Bible went back to the world. Everyone. Excuse me, cutie pie. You are not godly enough in your own flesh to make it at being a good Christian. This world system is bent too much to create a casualty out of you. So here's the essence of Christianity. Love the essence of service. Love for one. Supreme love. Sincere love. Sacrificial love. Selfless love. Submissive love. Watch this now. Sustained love. Whosoever cometh after me does not hate his mother, his father, his wife, his brethren, his own life also cannot be my disciple. Luke 14. Pretty strong, huh? Wait a minute. I've got to hate my wife to serve the Lord. I've got to hate my family to serve the Lord. Here's what he's saying. He's saying your love for me should be so strong that compared to your love for everyone else and everything else, to them and it seems like hatred. Here's the essence of service. Love for one, loathing for the other. The word loathe means to hate or despise. Here's the essence of service. You love one, you loathe the other. You loathe one, or you love the other. Listen, quit all that gobbledygook and all that jargon in between. Listen to me. You don't hate sin enough because you don't love Jesus enough. And you love sin too much because you hate Jesus too much. And you got to understand that hate or despise, really, in the Bible sense, is not. I don't believe anybody here hates Jesus, as we use the word. But the word hatred, in this sense, is to disregard or to make of no importance. It talks about Esau despised his birthright. What it simply means is he devalued it. See, I don't believe anybody here hates Jesus, but a whole lot of people here devalue him. So how do you know? You don't ever talk to him? Well, I won't talk to him because by the time I get to the end of the day, all my time is gone. When the last time you forgot to talk to somebody you love that much? What, does he talk to you? You let him? You know, some Christian people ought to quit saying how much they love the Lord. You know what? You've said it so much, it don't even sound real. I love, and then going to dress it up with a little charismatic flavor. I love Jesus. I love it. Get your signals together. They do that in the world. That don't mean you love him. You love him because you're raising the roof. You even got crunked up and everything else. That's why you love him? No. You love him because he first loved you. You love him because he died and gave his life for you. You love him because you can't do without him. You love him because you remember what it was when you tried. You love him because nobody talks to you like he does. You love him because his line ain't never busy. You love him because he's a burden bearer and a heavy load sharer. Bread when you're hungry, water when you're thirsty, comfort when you're lonely, a bridge over troubled waters, and a peace in the midst of the storm. You love him because he gives you grace when you don't deserve it and gives you mercy when you deserve punishment. You love him because you got a love letter called Genesis to Revelation. You love him because the Holy Ghost reminds you to love him. Your love for him translates in an instinct to loathe that which is contrary. You know what's draining as a pastor or as a discipler? I tell you what's not draining. I tell you what I enjoy. I enjoy proctoring the Word of God. I enjoy disseminating information. I enjoy depositing Scripture into the minds of people. I enjoy rightly dividing the Word of truth. I enjoy teaching the Word of God. Tell you what I don't enjoy. I don't enjoy trying to do your Christianity for you. I don't enjoy that. Okay, I can tell you what the Bible says, but I can't make you want to do it. What breaks my heart is some Christians want it. Other Christians have no desire for it. See, the bondservant was a slave. He had one master. His master determined where he lived, where he went, what he did, what he said. His master gave him his job description. He lived with his master. According to the book of Exodus, everything he got, he got from his master. In the seventh year, he could go out free. But if he went out free, he could only take what he had when he first got there. Nothing. Next time you talk about leaving Jesus, leave with everything you had when you got there. You might change your mind and stay. That was the servant. The word servant in the Bible was equivalent to the word slave. Here's what he's saying. How can you be on the clock for one master between 8 to 5 and be on another clock for another master at the same time? Who is going to pay you while you work for somebody else? Can you imagine? For those of us to have people working under us, can you imagine somebody getting a paycheck from you while working on another job? Some nerve in it. And then want insurance and benefits. I make the statement all the time. There's a whole lot of Christians working part-time hours that want full-time benefits. No man can serve two masters. Stop doing God dirty. You're going to love one and loathe the other. Hey, check yourself tonight. If I still like those dirty songs, if I still like those nasty movies, if I still like those bad habits, if I still like partying at that club, if I still like reading the magazines, if I still like looking at those sites, I'm not talking about temptation. Nobody in here is not tempted. But I want to tell you something. When you got saved, your whole appetite should have been revitalized. Something wrong with you. You don't love church. You don't love prayer. You don't love Bible reading. You don't love the songs of Zion. Why is your passion so strong for the oldies but goodies, but so weak for the hymns of the faith? Why do you dance so hard to the devil and pray so little for God? You're trying to double dip. No man can serve two masters. Lastly, the emphasis of the stipulation. You cannot serve God in mammon. The word mammon is the word for materialism. Hear me now. This world is a materialistic world. Listen, if we're not careful, we will be so programmed to be so stuff crazy, we won't even know it. The next best thing, the next new gadget, the next toy, the next outfit, the next shoe, the next this, the next that. And then we rate our success accordingly. I know how I'm doing in life right now based on the stuff I've got. Hey, you want to find the average Christian on a happy day? Catch them coming from the store with bags in their head. and follow that same joker out the house of God. Let's see if you can get the same smile. Ladies, let me ask a question. Do you leave church as happy as you leave them all? Ask your fellow something. Do you leave church as happy as you leave the gym?
Well, at least when I'm at the gym in the mall, I get the control thing. At church, you the one doing that job.
No, for real? Is that what it is? Okay. You leave your Bible reading as happy as you leave them all? You the one reading. Nobody made you close it. Do you get up off your knees, kicking your heels like you do after you get your paycheck? Do you get off the phone with Jesus as excited as you do when you get off the phone ensuring the direct deposit went through? Not through, through. Know why? We don't love. Cannot serve God. Nothing wrong with things, right, Pastor? No, I like things. I go preaching at churches, and they put me in a chamber, a prophet's chamber. Ooh. A lot of them resemble the original one Elijah had. A bed, a lamp, and a table. An old TV with a VHS. And vegetables. And I thought, thank you, Pastor. No TV, no nothing. So sometimes you figure, well, maybe the pastor is against TV. And I said, Pastor, I just kind of wanted to check on the news or the playoff game tonight. I wanted to come on over to the house, brother. Find out he got 8 of them. And you know, it's amazing. We try to program people into being Christians that we aren't even ourselves. I can't believe you said that. Well, let's play the camera on your mouth. I can't believe she put that on. Let's follow you out of church. Ma'am, you have been seen at times and nobody told you. They told me, but they didn't tell you they saw you. They told me what you had on. Skipping on through there. Just smoke running through the mall. Knowing good and well you didn't have no business having them. I'm not picking on the lake, but. You know, I go somewhere. I preach in churches with Christian folk. Christian lady, just put on anything. I mean, put on anything. Sometimes I ask myself, not why did she put it on? How long did it take her to get it on? You know what I found out? That most of the time, it is a desire to be trendy. Oh, I'm making enemies tonight. That's why I'm leaving the country tomorrow. Praying that you get over it by Wednesday. You know, there's a craze that is deposited in us by the devil to keep up with the status quo bad. Yes, gentlemen. You are included in such as well. Why do you wear your pants like that? What do you want it for? What do you have to have it for? Because it's trendy? Because that's what we do? Who's we? So what made you pick that haircut? The king? Which king? King Jesus or King James? I wish somebody help me pray. You checking with the rapper? This how they wearing it now? The Bible doesn't come out with new styles. My 2012 King James Version. What? Listen, ladies, listen to me. You're going to have to work hard in 2012 to find something appropriate. You might go have to find your seamstress. You might have to make shift stuff. Take two dresses and make it one. You know what I'm saying? Why? Because I don't live in this kingdom. I'm in another kingdom. Amen. You might have to put pieces in and add extra stuff. And the dress didn't come with that. That's all right. Cut off a handkerchief and piece it in there. You have to find ways. Amen. Y'all think I'm crazy. I agree with you. But I don't understand why we think that a system that came straight out of hell is conducive for folks bound for heaven. Why are we so married to styles? I didn't plan to get on this. You know, they tell me I'm so old. You're about 57 years old. That's what they tell me. Well, you know, I just don't buy all this worldliness. I don't buy it. I'm going to buy it. And by the way, you sign up for the cruise to the world, once it leaves dock, it's hard to get off. And I've watched some of you say, I'm not getting worldly. This is just, I just like this style. And 13 styles later, you ain't saying it no more. Baby, don't let the world pick. You can't serve God in manna. You can't. It's all about the Benjamins, baby. No, it's not. It's all about loving God. Serving God. Pleasing God. Well, how do I know whether or not I was successful today? Whether or not I had this or wore that or went here? No. When I pillow my head at night, did I please my master? Did I make him happy? Did I bring glory to his name? When I walked into the world, did I have my light on? That's what keeps me sleeping. Priorities, pursuits, passions, performance, pull, whatever else you want to throw in there, fill it in. No man can serve two masters. Here's what Jesus is saying tonight. You like the devil? You love the world? Are you infatuated with foolishness? Here's what he's saying. Then go hard then. Don't quit playing games. If you're going, listen, if you're going to flirt with the devil, go ahead and propose to him. Don't come in there playing games. If you're going to go hard. I mean, be cold or hot, but don't try that lukewarm mess. Listen, there's some people here that are engaged in legitimate struggles. Some of you ain't struggling. Pray for me, I had a struggle. No, you didn't. You didn't even fight the devil. You didn't struggle. Only thing you struggled with was coming in here in church today and looking like you struggled. That was your biggest struggle. How can I struggle myself into putting on my best hypocritical face? That's what they, that's why you're so tired. The apostle said, where are you out? Where the devil out of you? Sure will. And watch out with being a hypocrite. Because one of these times you're going to forget what you were supposed to be at a certain place and you're going to, oops, be a heathen in church. Oh, I forgot where I was. Yes, that's what's going to happen. Just love God. You don't have to concentrate on dotting I's and crossing T's. If you love God, and you won't be complaining all the time when somebody says, be careful about that, or don't do that, or I wouldn't go there. I'd change that. I would watch that attitude. Or, that's not very wise.
I can't do that.
No. When you're in love with Jesus, oh, really? I can't do that? Oh, if it helps me love him. Thank you, Jesus. Pastor, it's time for you to finish. Yes, sir. Father, thank you for your